I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Que está en revisión.
¡Gol del Cádiz!
¡Aleluya!
¡Gol de Orrey! ¡Juan Miguel!
¡Ay, Juan Miguel!
¡Gol, gol, 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 gol del Cádiz!
Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of La Liga Lowdown. I'm your host Matt Clark, delighted to be joined by Ben Sully. What a weekend it's been in La Liga, match day 28. We've had not one single draw, all victories all the way through, a couple of partidazos, a couple of 3-2s, a couple of high-scoring games, a few low-scoring games too, but decisive outcomes in all the games. Ben, what was your highlight of the weekend?
It's quite funny you say this, because as I watched Gerard Moreno bring the ball down on his chest ahead of Villarreal's third goal, I did think that might be my moment. Not a goal or anything like that, but just... he brought it down, and the way he brought it down was like he had a pillow for a chest. It just stopped. It would be absolutely beautiful. So yeah, it's quite funny you said that, because that kind of went through my mind when I saw him do that.
Well, let's start there, because we said in the preview pod midweek that was the kind of partidazo Sunday night slot, and boy, did it live up to it. A couple of red cards, 5-goal thriller. Betis led twice, but Villarreal came away with a huge win. And give themselves an outside chance of European football themselves. They had to respond after their poor show in Marseille, but credit to Marcelino and his men, they did just that.
Yeah, it was quite funny, because the way the game started, the first opening half an hour, I thought it might not live up to the potential. It looked like it could be quite a cagey one, but as soon as Guido Rodriguez opened the scoring for Betis, that was it. Game took off, and we kind of swung back and forward the momentum of the game. But Betis going in at half-time 2-1, you probably thought, okay, there was question marks over Villarreal's defending. Their confidence would have been low at half-time, like you said, especially after Thursday night, conceding 2 goals in the first half at Benito Villamarin, and after conceding all those goals against Marseille. Yeah, so at half-time, you'd probably been leaning, thinking this is going to be better, so come out and probably see us out in the second half. But absolute disastrous start for the second half for them, own goal. If it was a striker's header, you would say it was a brilliant header. There was no way for the goalkeeper to stop it. The game just kind of turned, like I said, about Gerard Moreno, who's pivotal in all three goals, kind of that bit where he just drop in behind Solot. And yeah, just he's a mesmerising player, absolutely brilliant. And yeah, like you said, then we had the two red cards, which was almost kind of capped off the game. Goals galore, own goals, and then the two red cards. And perhaps unsurprisingly, one of them went to Jimmy Avila.
Well, yeah, that was the kind of nailed on. I think three times he's been sent off this season now, and it's not a new thing for him, is it? He does have that reckless streak, and it kind of is now bordering on the liability. But Alberto Moreno as well, 3 days after being sent off in France, there he is again. I mean, I don't know what he's got in the calendar in March, but he's going to be spending a lot of it in the suspension room. But credit to Villarreal on their anniversary of their foundation. It's Oscar's night as well, and Gerard Moreno really did put on a show.
Yeah, it was like we said before, is just phenomenal. It's frustrating because you see the injuries that affected his career. Because if you were to say a Rolls Royce of a footballer, you would look at him. The training sessions, watching him and people and like Danny Parejo pass the ball to each other, it must just be a dream to watch those two. I think that's probably the surprising thing when you look at the quality that Villarreal do have in this team to see the struggles they've gone through this season. But that is a sort of result that they desperately needed. It's probably not going to be enough to give them a boost to mount an unbelievable comeback in the second leg against Marseille, but it could give them something to work with in the remaining weeks of the season. And you never know if Athletic Club win the Copa del Rey final, and I think that would open up seventh place, whether Villarreal could think I might still be able to mount a late push. Probably unlikely, but you never know if they can string a few wins together. And it was definitely their best result since Marcelino's return back to the club as well.
Indeed, and since you say that, it's a good stat from Opta tonight. Since his return, only five clubs have amassed more points than Villarreal. So clearly he's done the resurrection job pretty well. They're in absolutely no danger of going down now. So they can look up and potentially say, OK, seventh place. We've just beaten Betis, who are in seventh place. And there's only 7 points between them. So, you know, 10 games to go, 30 points. It's a lot to play for. Paco was talking about this a lot in previous pods, saying that it's going to be very congested, that fight for the Conference League position. So, yeah, why not? And as for Betis, I mean, you look at the table and you think, yeah, Betis have been doing okay. Real Sociedad have been doing relatively poorly. And you look at it and Real Sociedad are still in sixth. I know they've gone back above Betis. They keep rotating positions because Real Sociedad, after their disappointment in the Champions League, they went to Granada and had a really tough old game of it themselves. I mean, they were behind twice too, and it took a really late comeback. Goals from Lindelman and Andre Silva late in the day to secure all 3 points at the Nuevo Las Cármenes.
Yeah. It was obviously a few days after the defeat to Paris Saint-Germain. It's been a bad 2024 for Real Sociedad, so going behind a couple of times against a relegation contender is not ideal. So to come out of that with the 3 points, obviously they'd rather have had a much easier game of it, but to come out of that with 3 points, I think is a big result for them. Like I said, you might not have pinpointed Granada away as a necessarily big game. They would have kind of thinking this has to be 3 points, but in the context of how the game panned out, Real Sociedad would certainly be pleased. Probably with the fight as well they showed to come back and to get a bit of confidence back in. I know it was an away game and their real problems have been at home in recent weeks. So I think they got Cadiz next weekend, which would kind of be another challenge for them to try and get back to winning ways at home. So I think, they'll definitely be pleased with it in, like I said, in the manner of where how they fought back to get the win.
Yeah, it keeps them in sixth and just about in control of grasping onto a European position. You just mentioned Cadiz. Let's turn our attention now to the bottom, because my word, this was the standout result of the weekend, and perhaps of any weekend in La Liga, and certainly in recent weeks. Let's just put it into context. Cadiz hadn't won a game since Quique Setién was in charge of Villarreal. You're talking September. Pacheta's come and gone since. Marcelino's come in and saved them. It's been that long since Cadiz have won a game. But Atleti on the road, we spoke about it before, they're incredibly frail. When you compare their home record, is pretty phenomenal. Their away record is absolutely average. And Cadiz took advantage of that, because what a performance. A brace from Juanmi, a goal in each half. Atleti had no answer. And my word, this has really reignited that relegation battle, which we thought, to be honest, was done. But no, Cadiz believe.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with those sentiments. I think if you put it into context, to not have a league win since September going into this, obviously a lot of the fallout has been about kind of Atleti and their struggles on the road, but you certainly can't take away from Cadiz to get a result like that. First goal was very nicely worked. Wanmi was just strong enough, used his experience as well for the second to give a little nudge to Gabriel Paulista, but not enough to give away a foul. And it's it does reignite that. I think if you look at the bottom of the table, it, for the last few months, it has looked like the bottom three were going to be the bottom three. For Cardiff to have not won since September in the league, to still be within the chart, within a shout of staying in the division, was just a plus in itself. So, yeah, now teams who might have started thinking, okay, we're going to be safe, will be nervously looking over their shoulder, because I think from a Cardiff perspective, if you're a fan of them, you'd be very pleased in how the last three games are planned out in regards to the fight they've shown. Last minute equalisers in their last two games, to go into a game against Atleti where you think, okay, I know they have struggled on the roads, but they're obviously a top four club. It's going to be extremely difficult. There is a real, there seems to be a togetherness, and they're willing to fight for each other, which is obviously what you want when you get to this stage of the season, because sometimes how you win games and the way you play kind of goes out the window a little bit. It is about getting those points and grinding out those points, and they do seem the attitude and the work rate from the team would certainly give, I think, most Cardiff fans confidence that they stand a good chance now from feeling that they're out of it to mounting a real challenge to stay in the league.
Yeah, certainly improved under Mauricio Pellegrino. And they'll certainly think they can catch at least one of the teams above them. And one of those teams is, of course, Celta. We spoke about their absolute crunch game they had against Cádiz, conceding that 90-plus-10-minute equaliser down in Cádiz. Then they beat Almeria, which they absolutely had to do. And they probably thought, OK, Real Madrid away, free hit, what could go wrong? But then seeing Cádiz win, it just puts the pressure on. And as it was, they went to the Bernabeu and got hammered 4-0. I know there was two late goals. I know there was a bit more, you know, Vinicius polemica. But again, Celta, they just have to write this one off and look to the next game, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. I think going to the Bernabeu, you would probably say, okay, Rafa Benitez is probably saying this is, like you said, a free hit. If we come away with anything, it's a positive result. I think the slight thing I would be concerned about is the manner in which they played it. They did come out like it was damage limitation from 0-0. It was a positive start for Real Madrid, obviously, after the Leipzig game, where obviously they got through, but they weren't at their best. They wanted a response, so they got off to a positive start. But they were probably unlucky not to score more goals in the first half. So I thought it was very passive from Celta to up until half-time. They improved a little bit after half-time. And then the Rudiger header hits the bar, goes off the keeper into the net, and all of a sudden the floodgates start to open. I obviously, just on a note, that Arda Güler obviously scored his first goal, which was big for him. Been a tough season for him after arriving in the summer. Obviously struggled with injury, then struggled to get playing time, so that'll give him confidence. But yeah, going back to Felter, I think the result maybe won't have that much of an effect on the season, but I think the manner and the performance, they probably would have wished they had given it more of a go. It did feel quite passive and almost like they kind of turned up for the beating they eventually got. And maybe, like we're talking about Cardiff, that's maybe the difference between those two clubs at the moment. I talk about that real fight and togetherness with Cardiff, where didn't necessarily see that at times with the visitors at Bernabeu today on Sunday. So yeah, it's going to be, it could be a nervy few weeks, especially if Cardiff start picking up more points.
Well, speaking of that relegation battle, I want to draw your attention to not the next match day, but the one after that. So 29th and 30th of March, there's Friday night game, Cádiz-Granada. That is massive down in Andalusia. And then on the Sunday, it's Celta at home to Rayo. And that is also going to be absolutely massive in the context of the relegation battle. So end of March, guys, that's going to be a big weekend down the bottom. So stay tuned for that one. Back on Real Madrid, though, it was confirmed, or at least widespread reports on Sunday evening, that Brahim Diaz has decided to opt for Morocco internationally. Apparently he was waiting for the call from the Spanish Federation, but it never came, and so he has decided to opt for Morocco. Ben, do you think that's a good decision for him, and do you think Spain have missed out there?
I think Spain have missed out. I think there is a real player there. He's maybe the sort of player that, playing in another team, he would be one of the star men, where obviously back at Real Madrid this season you're kind of playing back up to Bellingham, but when he has played, he hasn't really let the team down. Very tricky, quick, that low centre of gravity. He's a very, very useful player. I suppose maybe from his perspective, whether he would think, am I going to get into... Probably get in the squad, maybe squeeze in the squad, but am I going to play that much for Spain ahead of some of the other attacking players? So I can see it from his point of view. Obviously, Morocco are a good team. Obviously, did very well at the World Cup. So, and he, talking about maybe not being regarded as a star player at Real Madrid, you could probably go into that Morocco team and all of a sudden he is one of their main players. So I can understand it from his perspective. I think Spain have missed out a little bit, but again, there's so many good players that Spain have at the disposal. Maybe you feel like he would just kind of get lost in the shuffle a little bit. So yeah, I can definitely see the reasoning behind it, even if it is maybe a shame from Spain's point of view.
Well, interesting to follow how that develops. And of course, we'll be interested to see the squad that Luis de la Fuente picks for the March internationals. But that's for another time. For now, we're four games down. We've got five to go. And we'll also look ahead at a massive week in the Champions League for Atleti and Barca. So stay with us.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to La Liga Lowdown, Match Day 28 recap. I'm here with Ben Sully. We haven't spoken about Barcelona yet, Ben, and that might be because they played on a Friday night, which is a rare thing. They huffed and puffed against Mallorca, who were doing their best to spoil the party, but Barca got the job done, despite a missed penalty from Ilkay Gundogan in the first half. In the end, it was an absolute golazo from Lamine Yamal. Many were saying, do you know what, actually, he didn't have his best game, but when you can score a goal like that to win the game, it doesn't really matter, does it?
No. And he kind of gave Mallorca a warning beforehand. He had hit the woodwork, I think, about 15 minutes before with a similar sort of strike cutting back in onto the left. But the winner is obviously a truly stunning goal. He kind of, you can see him starting headed towards the side of the box, but you know he's always wanting to get back on that left foot, and he just creates like that yard of space, and it's just unstoppable. And All of a sudden, obviously been there for the whole season, but a 16-year-old seems like one of the main players in this Barca team, which is good because it's exciting, concerning, because I always feel like I'm always a bit pessimistic because I'm concerned about the amount of game time he keeps getting. But yeah, from Barca's point of view, all of a sudden he's become the main man, and it was an important strike. Not just for the league, but I think also to get a bit of, you want that win before you go into the Napoli game in midweek. So, yeah, and also give him even more confidence because, as I said, he's going to be a key player and he's going to be important if they are going to get through that Champions League game.
Yeah, his first La Liga goal, that wasn't against Granada because his previous three were all against them. It was quite interesting. A lot of the discussion was about the team that Xavi was selecting. And they're thinking, okay, you're resting Robert Lewandowski. You surely play Vitor Roque, no? But no, it was in fact Marc Guy who started the game. What did you think of that decision? Do you see the logic in Xavi still keeping Roque back, or do you think it was strange not to start him when you're resting Lewandowski?
I think I was slightly surprised, obviously, to bring in Roque in January as well. You would have thought with doing that, they're going to bring him in to give him minutes. Obviously, he's not going to displace Robert Lewandowski, but you would, these sort of games where you are going to put him down on the bench, it's surely his time to get a starting opportunity. So I'm not sure what kind of message that sends to Vitor Roque, whether he would be discouraged by it. I suppose you're looking to give Vitor Roque minutes to build himself up towards next season. I suppose Xavi doesn't necessarily have to worry about that, obviously leaving it the end of the year. But yeah, I think the actual team selection was slightly surprising. It was very top heavy, and I know part of that obviously is no Pedri, no Frankie de Jong, but obviously they had Rafinha there as well, João Felix, Lamine Yamal. So it was a very top heavy starting lineup. I liked it when Fermin came on. I thought that gave it a better balance. I think that something like that would work better for the Champions League game against Napoli. So yeah, I think it was a slightly strange selection in terms of Vitor Roque and the overall team. Like I said, it seems to be a lot of forward thinking players. Again, maybe part of that in regards to a lot of attackers was they knew that they were going to have a lot of the ball against Mallorca, where if you're looking to head more towards the Napoli game, you want to get control of that midfield, because if you kind of turn it into a bit of a lottery, a bit of you hit, we hit type of thing, it could go badly wrong. So you do want that, some control in the midfield for the Napoli game and try and pin Napoli in. So I think it'd be interesting how he goes. Obviously, part of that's not Xavi's fault. You got no Gavi, no Pedri, no De Jong. You're missing some main players in that midfield. So, but I'd really be interested how he lines up in midweek.
I certainly will. But yeah, to only see one midfielder in this lineup was quite striking. But of course, context is, as you mentioned, the absentees and the availability of others. So they win anyway, and again, quietly, just keeping up, just in touch with Real Madrid. They are, what, 8 points behind the league leaders. But they haven't lost since Xavi announced his departure. So in some ways, what he wanted, the change of dynamic appears to have worked. So we'll see. Barca very much still looking solid for a top three finish. Also looking good for a top three finish is their Catalan neighbours, Girona. And they won on Saturday evening, beating Osasuna by 2-0. Porto and Savinho with the goals. Keeps them as second place in La Liga. Just 1 point clear of Barca, 7 off Real Madrid. Girona certainly keeping the focus on nailing that top four place.
Yeah, and there was a bit of pressure going into the game. Obviously, Barcelona went above them on the Friday evening, so to go back in there and reclaim second spot, it felt like a very Girona-like performance that we've kind of known them for this season. Obviously, their form has been a bit hit and miss over the last few weeks, but a lot of that has, those maybe negative results have been away from home. They were. I thought they were very good. I thought they were very unfortunate not to get a second goal earlier. I think it would have been a bit of a travesty if Osasuna had found an equaliser, because I thought Girona were in control for majority of that game. And to get back to winning ways, and obviously we've alluded on past podcasts, it'd be nice to have a title race, but the first thing and the main thing is for Girona is to cling on to that top four, and they look like they have a nice gap, and I think even if the away form is starting to go away from them, if they continue to win games at home, they should do enough to get over the line. I suppose it'd be interesting, might not be as exciting as a title race, but it would be interesting if they can hold off Barcelona and cling on to second spot, because I believe that has quite a big effect on who gets the privilege of going to Saudi Arabia for the Supercopa.
Oh, indeed. That's where it's at, really. Forget the league title. It's all about finishing second and making sure you're in that Supercopa. But yeah, jokes aside, Girona, 7 points clear of Atleti in fourth and a further two. So yeah, 9 points clear of Athletic in fifth. So that's a big margin with 10 games to go. You would fancy, as you say, with the home form to stay as it is, you would fancy Girona just about to do it. So what a story that would be. again, if you'd have said at the start of the season, Jordan are going to finish in the top four, you would have said, what are you on there? But so it looks like it's going to happen. And yeah, tremendous story there. Next up, we have the, I suppose you call it the Borderlands Derby. That's probably how we previewed it. Valencia against Getafe. They've had some spicy clashes in recent years, but this one was quite a nicely mannered one. Lots of mutual respect and support for Diakabi from both sets of players and staff. In the end, it was an exquisite finish from Hugo Duro, who may be getting a call from Luis de la Fuente. We'll never know. His goal was the only goal of the game, and it put Valencia in a very good position now. They're eighth, but they're only 2 points behind Betis in seventh, and they have a game in hand. So Valencia could be the ones to steal that seventh conference spot, perhaps, Ben.
Yeah, I think maybe Berahas' work this season maybe go slightly unnoticed in regards to the work of some other very top managers in the league. But to get this young Valencia side in with a shout and close to the European places, really, they should be in the bottom half. If you look at the squad, the inexperience in the squad, there are some very talented youngsters, but obviously with youngsters, you do normally expect inconsistency. So to make them very especially hard to beat at home, we saw in this game Hugo Duro with the beautiful finish, but then Mamardashvili proving why he's one of the best goalkeepers in the league, some crucial saves to hold on to that lead in the second half. I think it's quite an incredible job which Berahas doing to, like I said, to get this team anywhere near the European places, even if it doesn't work out in the next few weeks. It will be tough. I think the next three of the next four games are away from home, and like most teams, their home form's better, but they've relied a lot on the Mestalla factor. So they'll have to try and pick up a few wins over those next few games and keep with Betis and Real Sociedad. But I think for most Valencia fans, they'll take this. First thing is to stay up, and then to see if they can, now they can see if they can get anywhere near and stick with those teams above them.
Yeah, the home table, Valencia is sixth in the league, 28 points. But yeah, you flip it to the away and they are right down in 12th with just 12 points from 13 away games. So yeah, very much a home factor team, a bit like Atletico Madrid. I want to talk about Borderlands though, because I remember tweeting in October that I just found it funny that Borderlands had a win, draw, loss ratio of 69, 69, 69. And here we are, 18 games later, and we are bang on the same again, 75, 75, 75. I can't believe how much the tweet blew up. Probably my most successful tweet ever, which is baffling. But yeah, many replies with the Thanos gif of perfectly balanced and all this kind of thing. But yeah, Borderlands, as well as being Benjamin Button, he's obviously the most equilibrium of managers.
That's maybe something that he doesn't always get described as. Normally it's sometimes painted in negative, like with sometimes how the way his team plays. But yeah, he's probably been disappointed, like I said, in regards that he probably could have left Mestalla with at least a point if it wasn't for Mamardashvili. Their European campaign has slightly fallen away in recent weeks, but you have to look at the job that Borderlands has done. They're not worrying about a relegation fight. It is, can they get their European bid back on track? But if not, it'll be a mid-table finish, which is solid work. Sometimes in regards to the style of play and that, he isn't the most popular manager in the league, but he is effective. It normally works. So, yeah, he would have been disappointed with his result. And hoping, yeah, they get back on track. Obviously, they missed Mason Greenwood for the weekend. We should be back next week. They'll be disappointed with the result, but I think whatever happens, Getafe fans are happy with Borderlands. I think he kind of gone back home now after the Valencia stint.
Yeah, football champagne in its purest form, I suppose. But yeah. Not coming away with anything at Mestalla. A couple more games to wrap up before we look ahead to the Champions League. Alavés, another team that are really punching above what we thought would be their weight this season. They got a 1-0 win over Rayo Vallecano. Andoni Gorosabel just before half-time with the only goal of that game. And it leaves Rayo in a bit of a precarious position because they are now only 4 points clear of the drop. And they've only won once in the league since October. So they're very much a side that is just slipping into trouble. Alaves, for their part, 10 clear of relegation with 10 to go, already on 32 points. Brilliant job from Luis García Plaza.
Yeah, can't argue with it at all. It's very impressive. Obviously, when you're coming up from the second division, the main goal is fourth from bottom. If we can finish fourth from bottom, anything above that is a plus. So to almost be, obviously not guaranteed safety, but to be well on their way with going into the last 10 or so games is a massive plus for them. I suppose it's kind of, that win kind of alleviates any kind of lingering relegation fears, at least for the time being, where it puts Rayo back in it. Alluding to the Cadiz win over Atleti, it brings teams and gets teams looking over their shoulder, and Rayo are definitely one of those, because all of a sudden they are in bad form. The change of manager hasn't necessarily had an immediate impact on results. I would have been disappointed they had a chance right at the end of the game to snatch a point. Izzy Palafon had an effort saved, and then Falcao went and smashed it against the crossbar, and if that had gone in, okay, maybe it's a useful point. So, but yeah, it'd have been disappointed.
Yeah, let's see how they go in the next few weeks, because they look like one of those teams that definitely is slipping the wrong direction. And last but by no means least, Las Palmas 0, Athletic Club 2. Gorka Gruceta, another one of the Spanish players that's in double figures for the season, and an own goal sealed the victory for Ernesto Valverde. And for Atleti's troubles on the road, Athletic have gone to the Canaries and said, this is how we do it, guys. And they are absolutely smelling fourth place, because just 2 points separate them now. And if we're going to think that the top three is as it is, it really is going to be a shootout between Atleti and Athletic for top four. And I don't know about you, Ben, but my money's probably on Athletic Club.
Yeah, the momentum's with them. I was very impressed with the performance against Las Palmas. It's probably not the type of game or result that's going to be remembered at the end of the season, but it's a tricky place to go. And it just felt like a very professional performance. Fortunate with the second goal being an own goal, but even in the last 20 minutes, they had to kind of get through a bit of pressure and defend deep. And it just felt like a good away performance, something like Atleti would really take bite your hand off for at the moment. And like you said, the momentum is with Athletic Club. And I think if you look towards next weekend, they play on the Saturday, it's Alaves. Athletic have Barcelona on the Sunday. So there's a chance we could go into international break with them in fourth place. The momentum is, and you would say the belief is certainly with Athletic Club. And even the quality, obviously, on the pitch at the moment, if you're producing those type of away performances against teams like Las Palmas, they can make it difficult for you. Those are the type of games and the type of victories that can maybe be enough to get you over the line, because those are the type of games that Athletic are losing at the moment.
Exactly right. And Las Palmas maybe just slipping off a little bit, conceding a few more goals than they have been. But again, overall for them, it's been a fantastic season thus far. Let's look ahead to the midweek then, because we've got some huge, enormous games in the Champions League and beyond. Barca having to, they got the 1-1 from the first leg in Naples. They obviously need to win to get through. Atleti having to come from behind against Inter, such a daunting task, because once again, Inter won yet again at the weekend, away at the impressive fourth place Bologna, and they rested Lautaro Martinez. So that is now, losing count, 13 games on the spin they've won. I think it's incredible from Inter. A very daunting prospect for Atleti, but it's at the Metropolitano. So do they have a chance? What do you think?
I think the home factor is the only saving grace, if I'm honest. I would like to say I'm really confident, but yeah, I feel sorry for Atleti. I know there's a lot of talk there. The season obviously has unravelled with the defeat in the Copa del Rey semi-final, but they did well in their group, in the Champions League group stage. They topped their group. They did everything you could ask, and then they were going to join Inter, who are just in scintillating form. And I think they're probably a contender to win the Champions League alongside the likes of Real Madrid and Man City. So I think it's going to be extremely difficult. But can the home fans and can the being at Metropolitano, can that do enough to turn the tide in the favour? They want a positive start in the game, especially after the weekend result, to get a bit of confidence going. Obviously, I think they're going to struggle to have Griezmann available, which is...
That's the thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's going to be a big blow. It's just such a key player. And they've also relied a lot on him over the last few years. So, yeah, I'd like to say I'm really confident, partly because... As La Liga, as the league, we need these teams into the next round, because it's not been a great year of European football for the league as a whole. So, but I think it's going to be tough. In some ways, I suppose there's no pressure on them in that regard, because I think if you like you just spout out there, Inter's form is frightening. So they go into that second leg as favourites. But you never know. One game, one night, crowd on with them. It could happen.
It could be one of those special nights, or it could be an absolute disaster, and then they have to host Barca in the same stadium just a few days later in what could be massive in the league position. It's ironic, isn't it? Because if they get knocked out of the Champions League, then obviously fifth place for a La Liga side becomes a lot less likely for next season's qualification. So, and then if they end up fifth in the league, they'll have missed out that way. So it's a real kind of... a double jeopardy almost for these next two games. It may be a bit simplistic to say, but it does feel like Atleti's season is hanging on the line in this next week. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, totally agree. I think you get that going into that international break, they could either go into it with a really buoyant mood, or it could feel like the whole season has just collapsed in the space of a few weeks. In some respects, the Barcelona games. The bigger one, because obviously they would love to get through the Inter game, but finishing in the top four is what they need. If they don't finish in the top four, it would be a disaster. Questions obviously would be asked to Simeone. I know extended his contract last year to I think 2027, but it would be disastrous if they didn't finish in the top four, and if they were to lose to Barca, then all of a sudden that becomes probably a real prospect, because like I said earlier, there's a very good chance that they could go into that game down in fifth if Athletic Club beat Alaves. So yeah, it is a massive, massive two games coming up for the club, but also for, like I said, for Simeone. He really needs a couple of good results, and more importantly, he needs at least one good result against Barcelona next weekend.
Mm. Well, I'm quietly confident for Barca in the Champions League. I think they will have too much for Napoli. I'm just hoping we get a Clásico, to be honest. I'm hoping we get a couple more Clásicos for the season, just to really give us something to look forward to. But as for Atleti, I think it's going to be a case of watching that one from behind the sofa. It's going to be so tough to knock out Inter in the form they're in and the position they find themselves, 1-0 down. I mean, it could have been a lot worse. We said that at the time, didn't we? Only losing one in San Siro was probably almost like a draw in effect, because it could have been done and dusted, like Villarreal in Marseille, for example. But we will see. We have run out of time tonight, though, Ben. But thank you very much for your insights, as ever.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on again. Always enjoying it.
Fantastic stuff. And remember, listeners, if you want extra content throughout the week and access to the Midweek Pod, you can upgrade your subscription for a fiver a month. Pretty good value, we think. And we'll give you all the coverage throughout the season. So enjoy the Champions League. Atleti fans, fingers crossed for you all. Barca, you can do it. Villarreal, who knows? The Yellow Submarine might already be sunk, but we'll revisit that in the midweek pod. But until then, enjoy the football in midweek, and adios.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned, We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.